Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. You know, one of my favorite shows on television today is called The Carbonaro Effect. Have you seen that before? Michael Carbonaro is a magician, and he's kind of a prankster. You know, he loves to pull tricks and grab people's attention and literally just shock them. Maybe you've seen some of his pranks. I pulled up just a little clip so you could kind of see what he's all about. It's really a fun show.
That's bizarre.
Stuck in there or something?
Yeah.
There we go.
Oh, yeah, there's like a... Whoa. Oh, my gosh. Is this yours?
There she is.
Isn't she great?
No!
Yes!
Put the head on here and just give him a little shake, I think. Yeah, like this in it. You inject it in here. They give you this light. It creates the heartbeat.
Oh,
colors change.
Oh, my God.
Sorry. See? They put it into like a little field, and when the rain comes by, and they're supposed to set them.
Oh, my God!
Yeah. Kids love to do this.
What?
That is creepy, though. Ooh, this is tickling.
What?
Someone just brought us one of these lucky wish frogs. I love them.
Wait, was that real?
Yeah.
That's fun stuff, and it's really meant to entertain. But the resurrection of Jesus was no trick. It wasn't to entertain, it was to save. It was an event, however, that threw the world into chaos. Everything that they had believed was being tested on that early morning at the tomb of Jesus. It was a quiet morning. The Sabbath was Saturday, and it was over. And the women, Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James, and Salome brought spices so that they might go and anoint the body of Jesus who had been crucified and lay him to rest. Being women, they probably thought they were safe if approached by guards. What would they do? But they had a big problem. They came to the tomb, or they were coming to the tomb. They were having this discussion about who would roll this rock away. And who knows how long they talked about it and kind of what conclusions they came to. Some people might have just said, there's no way we can move this thing, you know, and just go back home. But they didn't. And when they arrived, they noticed that the rock had already been rolled away. So they went into the tomb, and there was a big surprise. Of course, a surprise. But they were willing to investigate. They went in. According to Mark's gospel, they entered the gospel, and there they saw a young man sitting on the right side of the tomb. Still, pretty much a normal surprise, except for the fact that this young man was wearing a white robe. I'm not exactly sure what that is supposed to communicate, but to me, the reaction was all I needed. And we know from other accounts of Scripture that this was an angelic being. Their reaction, if you've seen an angel, I think would be the same. Kind of shock and awe, surprise. I don't know what messengers of God look like, but if I saw one, I think I would be pretty much scared out of my wits too. The young man says to them something so familiar. He says, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be alarmed. They'd heard those words before in life and death situations. In John 6:20, the disciples were out in their boat in really rough weather. Jesus wasn't with them at the time. And during the storm, all of a sudden they see the presence of Jesus walking upon the water. What does he say to them? Don't be afraid. It's I. Or how about the little girl in Luke chapter 8 who was dying and her father, Jairus, had come to Jesus to say, please come and help my daughter, she's dying. And on the way, you might remember, some of the man's friends came and said, she's gone. Don't bother the master anymore. And Jesus looked at Jairus and said, just follow. Just believe. When he got there, he said, she will live. She will live. She's just sleeping. Well, amongst those who were wailing and mourning, turned suddenly to laughter. You can imagine that energy in the people going from crying to laughing because it was such an absurd thing. Who is it that can raise people from the dead? They knew she was gone. And Jesus approached this little girl, took her by the hand and said, my child, little girl, get up. And she got up. What was their reaction? Astonishment. In John 11, we just had that story not too long ago in the lessons. Jesus had raised his friend Lazarus. And the crowd's astonishment, to my amazement, is not recorded in John's gospel there. But put your place in their place, and you hear Jesus calling someone, a friend of yours, or out of a tomb who's been dead 4 days. I imagine he didn't need to say, John didn't need to record the astonishment that was there. Back to Mark's narrative. As the young angel continues to speak, he says, you seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He's not here. See the place where they laid him. Go tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you to Galilee. And there you will see him, just as he told you. As they went out and fled from the tomb, for trembling and astonishment had seized them, they said nothing to anyone, for they were afraid. There was obviously chaos from that moment on. Can you imagine? How are you going to tell anybody what's going on? For fear of, you know, the Jews that were attacking Jesus, and, you know, I mean, just the incredulity of the whole thing was beyond anyone's imagination. Eventually, the news of Jesus' resurrection spread like wildfire. The good news of Jesus' resurrection was proclaimed by the disciples, the church, and the people of the resurrected Lord. And they eventually brought that Roman Empire to its knees. Is that amazing? Astonished. How did that happen? Well, the news of the resurrection of Jesus initially brought chaos to the people, to the disciples, and especially to the Apostle Paul. This is what they did. They searched the Old Testament scriptures and discovered that all of this was not by chance. It was the will of God to take the guilt of Adam's sin away through a Redeemer who would give his life for the world, for the sins of the world. But because he is not only true man, he is also true God, death could not contain him. The grave could not hold him. He rose and still lives victoriously and has sent his Spirit to be with us to break the bondages, the chains of sin, death, and hell over our lives forever. Now, while this may be flowing through your mind or throwing your mind into chaos right now and bewilderment, know that God has very precisely calculated salvation from the foundations of the world. Yes, there was chaos, but the more they looked at the Old Testament, they realized this wasn't a magician's trick. This is something that had been calculated by the Father from the very foundations of the earth. It's easy to shy away from the Old Testament, but it is the foundation of God's calculated plan to bring Christ into the world for the salvation of all people. Listen to what Jesus said as he spoke to the Pharisees one day. He said, "You study the scriptures diligently because you think in them you have eternal life. These are the very scriptures that testify about me." John 5:30. So my friends, if you want to move beyond the chaos, move beyond the frenzy of figuring out what the resurrection message means, you need to spend some time in the Old Testament. It wasn't a clever trick. There in the Old Testament, you will find the calculating mind of God working over centuries to bring us home to the Father with our brother Jesus, who has won the victory over death and the grave by his resurrection. Is that something worth celebrating? I believe it is. Alleluia. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Alleluia.